Today's episode is brought to you by Crossway, a not-for-profit ministry that publishes gospel-centered resources to serve the church. Crossway recently published a second edition of Jen Wilkins' book, Women of the Word. Women of the Word is a book that offers a clear plan for studying scripture in a way that trains your mind and transforms your heart. The second edition of this best-selling book includes new study questions with each chapter. Learn more about this book at crossway.org/RM. We're so thankful for Crossway's support.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily, here with Laura.
Hey, guys.
And we are so excited to be back. We're kicking off a two-part series today.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about service, giving your life as a living sacrifice. And as you guys know, Emily and I kind of talk a lot about how different we are as moms and how we do things differently, but we have kind of that same value system or that gospel undergirding things that we do. And we were kind of setting out to write two different shows and realized, oh my word, we just wrote the same show from two different perspectives.
Yeah. So we're going to kind of be interviewing each other back and forth, for lack of a better way to put it, but really hopefully it'll feel like two conversations. And we hope that you'll listen to both of them, because even though you may relate with one of us more or less, it's really helpful for us to learn from one another and see different ways that we can be tempted. But before we jump into that, we want to tell you about something you can get for free at Risen Motherhood. On the first Friday of every month, We have a newsletter that will come straight to your inbox, and it is just packed with so many fun things.
Yeah, it comes out in a week and a half, so you have like 10 days, if you're listening to this on release day, to sign up before the next newsletter goes out. And one of the favorite things that we do, one of my favorite things that we do that's in it, is the mom tip. So we cover things like screen time and Easter and Advent and church history and all sorts of things. Each month, it's something a little bit different, a little different focus. I think you'll find it really enjoyable to read through. We've had great feedback on it and also hopefully helpful to your life.
Yeah. And if you sign up now, you also get this beautiful floral print and you can download it. It's kind of illustrates the four parts of the gospel that we talk about on the show. So it's not like in your face, you know, big words on your wall, but it's something that can remind you as you're glancing over. Maybe it's over the in the bathroom, like maybe over the toilet as you're dealing. I meant like potty training, and you're like frustrated and you're looking up. Oh no, this is going to go somewhere bad.
I was just like, okay. I mean, toilet's a great spot for it. It's just a funny spot to pick. Like, how about your couch or your fire?
Yeah, that too.
Anyway, it's funny.
Anywhere where you're needing to remember
the
gospel.
That's right. You need it when you're on the toilet. We're not cutting this.
This was the weirdest show intro we've ever done. Okay. Well, let's jump into today's show. So first off, as we were thinking about this topic, we just wanted to acknowledge like the fact that all of us feel busy, probably whether you work outside the home or you work from home or you're primarily doing work with your kids in the home, whatever your kind of work, church, service, life balance looks like, we all feel busy.
Yeah, there was this Facebook post that I saw, and I actually sent to the team and said, this is who we want to speak to here at Risen Motherhood, because this is every mom, where this woman was kind of talking about all of the pressures that she feels day in and day out. And she happened to be a mom that worked outside the home, but she talked about feed your kids, do meal prep, grocery shop, meal plan, go on a vacation, take your kids to all their appointments, be well-read, keep up with pop culture, get in shape, get 8 hours of sleep at night, style your hair, get off your phone. Like, I could go on and on. There were so many things that it's like culture in the world is telling you to do. And it's exhausting for me to sit here and read that to you and then realizing that's exhausting to live, because that's what we're all living. And so this post, the last time we checked, had like 80,000 likes, like almost 20,000 comments, 72,000 shares. People resonated with this, to say the least.
Yeah. And if you are a mom who then believes in God and wants to follow Christ, we have this whole other thing, right? It's not just the pressures of what culture tells us we need to do. We also want to like live for God and serve well and like love our family and love our church, love our neighbors, love our community. And so there's this whole other thing that can feel like pressure, even though it's a joy and it's actually our life calling, because God wants us to order our time and our energy and our resources around his priorities for the kingdom. So these two shows that we're getting ready to do are really not about, oh, doing more or doing less or finding the perfect balance, but really what does it mean to be a living sacrifice? And what does it mean to live for Christ, right? Whether we live, whether we die, we are the Lord's and our lives should be oriented around him. And we're really kind of trying to unpack and examine what that looks like for different moms in different scenarios with different personalities.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think our personalities, our circumstances, and our preferences, they all make us prone to, in a way, crawl off the altar in different ways. And there are two big temptations for moms, it seems like. One is serving to the point of burnout, which is a little bit what we'll be talking about today. But then also this idea of kind of resisting a generous life of serving. And these things play out in different ways. And I think everybody does a little bit of them at different times. So it's not just exclusive to each type. But today we are going to talk a little bit more about burnout, but also just like being overly busy, being burdened and overwhelmed, kind of trying to always keep up with the rat race of life. That's kind of the focus of today's show.
Right. And before we jump in, we definitely want to say, hey, we are not, you know, counselors, we're not doctors. So anything that we're sharing in this show or the next is just really from our personal experience and from Bible study and our desire to communicate the good news and the word of God. So if there is something that is kind of, you know, pulling at your heartstrings or that you feel like you need to talk with another person about, please reach out to, you know, a licensed counselor, to someone that you trust, or even to a doctor if you need to. Mm-hmm. All right. So Laura, how about you start with telling us a little bit about your journey and kind of how you got to a point, maybe in motherhood and in life, where you realized you were serving to the point of burnout?
Yeah, I think that a lot of things started back in the summer of 2017. I had my third daughter was born. 2 months later, we found out that she had special needs, which kind of set in motion a slew of medical and therapy appointments. Just this whole new world for me. That same week, my husband actually severely broke his leg. And he had a pretty major surgery, was in a wheelchair, on crutches. He couldn't even hold our new baby girl or carry her. He could hold her, I apologize, but he couldn't carry her around the house. At the time, he was just working really heavily. A lot of you guys have heard the last show Emily interviewed me on, which was Husbands That Work Long Hours, where I kind of talked about that. And so he was working probably double the average amount of hours most peer men his age were doing. And then we were living in Chicago, and we really didn't have a lot of family support. We had a wonderful church community, but we didn't have a lot of family. So kind of time marches on and progresses, and we ended up moving back here to Iowa. A lot of you guys have heard that we've moved now closer to Emily. We lived temporarily with my parents for that year. We built a house. We secured a book deal somewhere in the midst of that. We turned Risen Motherhood into a nonprofit. I was working 20 to 30 hours a week, continuing to care for my youngest daughter. She had about 3 to 5 appointments a week, and then just managing the family. What happened was, over the course of time, it didn't happen overnight, but over the course of time, I felt very, very stressed out. Obviously, I was very overwhelmed, but I started getting sick more frequently. I started having this what's called stress-induced vertigo. I went to the doctor for it. These headaches, I developed a rash, I had insomnia. I was waking up at 3 a.m. For no reason. I just couldn't sleep. I was tired, but I couldn't sleep. So I'd get up and I would work. I started eventually to stop caring as much about a lot of things that I was doing. I still worked and did things, but the passion or the zeal wasn't there. I felt a little bit apathetic about results or how things would happen. I just couldn't focus. I felt forgetful. I would forget really silly things that I would normally used to remember. Oh, another big piece, I guess, would be I started having some doubts about my faith, things that I'd never experienced before. I started to question things that I just had always been rock solid for me. And I think that what happened was, over time, Emily and then also my parents started really noticing kind of a change and a shift in me and telling me to slow down. But even then, I felt defensive, like, well, this is just my life. This isn't my choice. I can't stop. Eventually I'll stop, but I can't do right now. I don't know how to stop. And I really needed their assistance to learn how to process things, to heal. I mean, I was going through major grief with my daughter. I was hitting a ton of life transitions. They always say to what do one life transition a year. And I think I went through like three or more major life transitions. So it was the perfect storm in my life.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing all that. Of course, I lived it beside you kind of firsthand and watched you walk through that. And I like how you noted it didn't happen overnight. It was a process. And even as we're sharing a lot of those things, like a lot of those things weren't in your control necessarily. And so just that reality that occasionally just our life circumstances, you know, in God's sovereignty also stack up and help reveal to us what's going on in our heart. So if you could just explain a little bit more, like what is burnout and how did you know, like it's different from being just a little overwhelmed or man, I'm just really tired. Like I know you gave some symptoms, but maybe more from science or from scripture. Yeah. What is it?
Yeah, I think that I used to think it was a term people used as an excuse to rest. This is an overachiever talking here. Emily's laughing. But what I learned is burnout is a real thing. It's actually been studied by a psychologist. And it's typically, you actually don't think you need a break. So you keep going at this unsustainable pace. You know, it's more than just saying, oh, I'm tired, I need a break. It's very difficult to stop. And it's been, like I said, it's been studied by psychologists. And so you could Google that. We won't talk about that too much today. But I think what's interesting is we do actually see it in the Bible. The word burnout isn't in the Bible, but we do see a nod towards it. Perhaps the most telling is Moses in Exodus 18. Moses' father-in-law Jethro comes to him because Moses is exhausted. The people were coming to him all day long with all their fights and disagreements, and Moses is trying to sort it all out and help them know what to do. And Jethro says, what you are doing is not good. You are going to wear yourself out. It's too heavy for you. You're not able to do it alone. So Jethro tells him to get wise people around Moses and to divide up that work. And Jethro says, they're going to bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you and you will be able to endure. And so I thought that was just really helpful when I understood that, you know, this type of thing, Moses couldn't do it alone. Everyone wanted him to do it. It seemed like he was the right person to do it, but ultimately that's not the way God has designed it. And so I think it's important to note that it's this time where you kind of are in this chronic stress, but you can't function very well or effectively, which is what Jethro was trying to tell Moses. And in many ways, you're actually sort of unhelpful to the things that need to get done.
I love that you're sharing those examples because whenever we look to the Bible, we see that, hey, humans have been dealing with these same, you know, emotions and heart issues and challenges, you know, throughout all of history. And God, throughout all of history, has been providing answers in just people being able to recognize their limitations, to depend on God, to, you know, see the community that he's placed around them so that they can all more effectively serve and obey the Lord. So I think you noted like, hey, this was kind of a slow fade for you. It wasn't just one decision that you made or one thing that happened to you. So why do you think, you know, we're so prone to being overwhelmed and busy and therefore potentially burned out?
Yeah, I think we all have this deep desire to feel successful and to feel valued. And, you know, there's that idea of I'm so busy, sounds super cool or something. And there is value in our work. But the thing is that the work does not give us value. And so a lot of times I think this comes down to just an issue of pride, pride that says, hey, we don't need friends. I don't need rest. I don't need support. I don't need help. And really, in essence, what that's saying is that I don't need the gospel. And so with burnout, but even just being really, really busy or in almost in a weird way, enjoying being overwhelmed. I don't know. Maybe there's some other people that identify with that. There are some underlying lies that we believe. And one of them is just feeling like wanting to feel or believing that we're indispensable or irreplaceable. I think you see this with a lot of moms, this idea that no one else can take care of my children as well as I can. I know that was something that I did. I had far less childcare than I probably needed because I really felt like, well, I can make the best decisions for my family. So I need to be the one doing that. Another one is believing we don't have limits. You know, as moms, we're spread super thin already with all of the daily tasks in front of us. But in our pride, we kind of think, okay, we can just do a little more. We can go a little faster. We can sleep a little later. We'll read our Bibles in a different day. And so there are a lot of lies that we feed to ourselves about our human limits that God set in place for our good. And lastly, I would say just even loving our success or our achievements more than God. This is just the sin of idolatry. And I know that for me, I can get a little bored with the daily grind of motherhood and that mundane work that we were all talking about. And I want to look for something that is a little bit more of an instant gratification. You know, success with a child is 18 years away. So what can I do now?
If it comes.
That's right. And so I think busyness can satiate our need for success and accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of moms can probably resonate with that need to see kind of immediate results mm-hmm. or to feel like their lives are full or busy and they're very needed and essential. And we do play a really essential and important role in our family. But I think you're highlighting how whenever we are serving, though, to the point of burnout, we're not recognizing our limitations and we're not trusting in the Lord, then we're actually doing the opposite of what we want to do. And we're not able to make the best decisions and we're not able to love them as well. So what can a mom do to prevent burnout and kind of to keep herself from getting to a point where, man, she's just too busy?
Yeah, I think that there are some practical things that you can set in place, but there are also some spiritual values that need to be understood. I think for me, I had some false beliefs or ultimately just some bad theology that was in place that didn't allow me to rest. I really did not have a solid spiritual framework for rest. So I didn't find it valuable. And I think that I had to understand that rest is far, far more than a weekend trip away or a night out with the girls. It's a state of our hearts. And I had heard that before. That wasn't new to me. But this understanding that there is like a deep soul rest that's depending and relying on Christ in every moment, knowing that He is my ultimate source and really my only source of accomplishment or of success. It's abiding in Christ continually. And I could say all of those things correctly, but I didn't really know what that meant for my own life. And I think much of that is just done in discovering it. Like if you're in this place, I would just encourage you to study rest and to study what it means to abide in Christ, because I think many of us can parrot the right words and say the right things, but to truly know that like our work and obedience flows from a love of Jesus and His death and resurrection, like those are fine words to say, but to root it deep in your heart probably comes more from deep study and time spent in God's word and in prayer and asking the Spirit to work in your heart. You know, I think that I had to remind myself that Jesus identified with me in this. He knows exactly what it's like to feel so busy and so overwhelmed and so stretched by the day-to-day demands of life. And the demands on Him were just astronomical, but He didn't lose it. He didn't lean out like people are doing these days, or He didn't have a meltdown. But we do see Him going away to pray and spending time with some of His closest friends. We see Him sleep. He didn't do it all. There were people that were left unhealed. There were people who didn't hear one of His sermons, who didn't get to touch His clothes. And He still did all that the Father wanted Him to do. And I think that comes as a comfort for me that I don't have to be all things to all people. That's not my job. And I can follow Jesus's path and know that there are things that are going to be left undone. There are opportunities that I won't do. And it's okay because none of these things earn my status before God. They're just done as an overflow of love for my Savior. So I just think to myself, like, what can I do to glorify God and to bring Him more glory? How can I join with the body of Christ to support other people, to support the work, instead of trying to like live outside of that on my own volition and within my own abilities?
Yeah. As we've been talking, what I hear you saying is that for you, you know, being a living sacrifice and living with that heart and that mindset means that there are going to be opportunities before you to serve and to achieve, to feel successful, that you're going to actually have to trust and be dependent on God in your rest and maybe say no to some of those things when what you your flesh wants to do or what you feel like you should do is say yes to everything and keep the whole world spinning. And that for some of us, that is what it means to be a living sacrifice, is to choose to rest in Christ in a way that is going to actively say no to things that seem good to us to do. And so it's just really interesting. So what's next for a mom who is overwhelmed or feels like she's in this position?
Yeah, I wish we had a lot more time because I feel like I have 75,000 things I would love to continue sharing with a mom. But I think that the best thing, if you are feeling really busy and overwhelmed and unsure of what the next steps are, is just see if there's any sin that you need to repent of. We had kind of talked about that earlier in the interview, and there's probably other sin issues or reasons that I didn't even mention, even things like fear, but start there and then talk with others. I think that was a pretty big deal for me to finally admit, particularly some spiritual doubts that I was having. I didn't want to tell anyone. I felt like they wouldn't like it, or they might get scared or think I'm a fraud. And I think that was like the biggest thing mm-hmm. that I fell into, was not wanting to be truly honest with my friends and family about what was going on out of fear. And I would say, like, letting somebody in, whether that's your husband or a wiser woman or a dear friend, like I did with Emily, just to be really honest. And I was so grateful, because those few people that I did tell, like, weren't upset at all, you know, mm-hmm. and actually were kind of like, I wondered, you know, like, yeah. I think there was an element of like, you can't see people from the outside knowing more than you think they do. And so I think I would just advise that you go and share and talk with someone, and they can even help you understand if it's anxiety or depression, or maybe something different than burnout that you're going through. Mm-hmm. And then I would just say, find what you can change. And I started instituting a pretty strict Sabbath. I'd never done that before, but like I said, of studying rest and how important that was to shift my mind when I was going through burnout, that was something that we did set in place, a lot of more strict rules than I'd ever had. And it was for my good ultimately. And they're getting to a place where I can be more flexible now, but that was huge. And so kind of seeing what you can change, and then setting aside that time for rest, and even getting accountability. I think mm-hmm. if you are prone towards this, like I am, that can be immensely helpful in either preventing burnout or helping you heal.
Yeah. So as Laura said, we definitely want to acknowledge that in some of these symptoms and feelings, there is overlap to things like depression and anxiety. So please, you know, if this is something you're concerned about, you know, don't self-diagnose, yeah. talk to somebody, talk to a professional. But Laura, I'm curious if you will share before we go, like, where are you at today? Like, are you still burned out? I mean, what has changed? So you kind of maybe noticed this about a year ago. How are things today?
Yeah, I'm doing a lot better, but I've been surprised by sort of how long it's been taking to heal. And I'm not a good person with ambiguity. I like to kind of be like, okay, that's done and over. It's behind me, right? I'm a task-oriented person. And so I think that it's somewhat like a long healing process, but I'm doing a ton better. And I think that was, like I said, like when I started admitting it about a year ago, that really, really helped set me on the right path and getting people around me to hold me accountable. And so I think for me, I had to understand that in order to be a living sacrifice, in order to serve my family well, I actually had to do less than I expected.
Yeah, it was fun. I was talking with Laura earlier today, and yesterday was Sunday, mm-hmm. and she was even just processing with me like, oh, I had a lot of stuff I kind of could do or needed to do to prepare for the week. I know you'd been out of town and things were really busy, but it was just fun to hear you share like, oh, I spent time with my husband and, you know, we relaxed and like did some things together as a family. And even that you were saying, hey, I was cleaning my house, you know, which I know sometimes when we're super busy and we're doing a lot of other things, it can just be a simple, restful thing to slow down and just prepare our home for the next day. And mm-hmm. so I'm encouraged by just the way that I've seen you obey God's command for Sabbath and mm-hmm. not just, yes, like in our hearts. And that's like the most important place we rest, but also like to see those things then be implemented in your life. And that there's like good fruit from that mm-hmm. has been really, really fun.
Yeah, thanks. That's nice to even hear. I think it takes work to cultivate that sustainable yeah. life. And I would just encourage, no matter where you are in the spectrum, if you're more like me or not, like to put the effort in, because I think that God has called us to an abundant life, not a harried, busy life. And that life has sleep, it has purpose, it has rest, it has joy. And so I think that I just want to encourage anyone out there that if you are feeling this way, that you take time to stop and evaluate and just find the rest that is offered to you today. And you don't have to wait until a different season to find it. And I think that is just like mm-hmm. a huge relief that you can even have rest in busy seasons.
Yeah. So mothering from a place of rest, mm-hmm. Definitely we want to be living that way and thinking that way. So thanks for tuning into today's interview. Again, this is the first part of kind of a two-part series, just really looking at what does it mean to be just a mom who is a living sacrifice, who's learning to serve in abundant ways. So join us next week. We're going to be, I'm hopefully going to be sharing about.
She's on the hot seat.
Yeah. How can we can resist this, maybe wanting to hold a generous life of serving at an arm's length and have things be really comfortable. So again, if you want to find any more about this, you can head to our website, risenmotherhood.com. We've got show notes there, tons more information. You can also find us at Risen Motherhood, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget to go sign up for the newsletter.
That's right.